B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Ah, welcome back. Cuz Radio with Chewed is hanging out on this Tuesday. Hope everybody's well, is safe, is sane. Check in, and we'd love to talk to you about what you're doing and how you're navigating this thing. In the interim, we'll get some more football for you. So Tim McManus wrote a piece on ESPN, and it's funny. So he talks about the whole DeAndre Hopkins thing, and he says, well, the reason why they're not going to sign Hopkins is because of, like, basically saying fiscal sanity, right? That the deal is Hopkins is pushing for a new mega deal, even though he has 3 years remaining on his five-year, $81 million contract. So he thinks that the Eagles would not rip up that deal and give him a new one, and that would set a precedent the Eagles have long tried to avoid. But that's the reason why. And so he tries to make the case that, you know, well, you know, because the Eagles are showing fiscal sanity, it's okay. Now, this is where I disagree with Timmy. The reason why first of all, I would have done it, but the reason why the Eagles can't do it is because they gave up too much money they flushed away with Alshon Jeffrey. Like, so let's not make them some bastion of, oh, well, look, they're being smart. No, they were stupid and that extension for Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, let's be real. I love the guy. I love Howard to death. But that Alshon extension was a death knell. And that's the reason why they can't pay DeAndre Hopkins. Right or wrong?
No, totally right. We got a great tweet. This is from Joseph Giordano. He goes, hear me out. Nick Foles is in Chicago. We want Alshon off the books. Foles-Alshon combo was great. We sent Alshon to Chicago for a seventh-round pick. What do you think?
I'm in.
He goes, we wash our hands and everyone wins.
No, they're not stupid. So they're not going to take the contract. But I'm in. I'll send him back to Chicago. I don't care about Foles. First of all, could you imagine in Chicago that oh my God, Nick Foles, your quarterback. You've been waiting for quarterback. Now all of a sudden you get Alshon Jeffrey back, who was poison with the Bears. Remember when he left Chicago. And I hate to say it because we were all excited. I was excited they got Jeffrey. But he turned, you know, again, that whole Wentz thing, he got exposed. And I to this day don't understand the extension. The two things I don't understand are the extension for Jeffrey, and I don't get the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside pick. Those are the two greatest mysteries to me. Oh, we got him? Oh, man, let's get him on the line. One of the greats to relive that incredible 44-6 game and his incredible, illustrious career. You hear him with Mikey Miss. God, he's the best. The great Brian Westbrook is on the Comcast Business Hotline. B. West, how you faring, man?
You know what, Anthony? I am, you know, for what's going on, of course, across our country, I'm doing well. We're here bunkered in Maryland with the kids and family. And, you know, it's funny, and I'm not sure if your kids are going through this, but my kids are certainly going through it. I was my oldest, and she's in the first grade, and so her school has decided to do everything online.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great idea in principle, until now, as a parent that hasn't been in school for the last 20-plus years, I'm trying to figure out how they're teaching these kids new math and all these different subjects, and my daughter actually is teaching me at this point, so... it's interesting times, but I'm glad to be here with my family. How are you doing, my friend?
Same as you, brother. You know what's funny? I did the same thing. So there was a packet because my Mossy's in first grade. And so there was a packet, and it was the math packet. And, like, it show your work. And you got to show your work about the apples and the whatevers. And I'm going, dude, here's how you get to 18. Like, do this.
No, they don't want just the answer. They want to know. They want you to show your work, which means that whatever we learned 20 plus
exactly.
years ago, that's obsolete. That's not how you do it anymore.
Okay? Exactly,
it's pretty funny.
Oh my God, you're so right, brother. Oh man, you go. Oh my God, first grade. Then the fourth guy, get the fourth grader. Forget about it. I have no idea what he's doing. It is. I'm glad that everybody's safe. And as we wait this day, it's so crazy. But B West, it's such a crazy time, man. It really is.
Very crazy time. But I truly do believe we'll get through this. And when we get on the other side of this thing, I think it will be much better for it in the end. So, you know, the other thing, Anthony, I just have to be honest. And I said this to Mike last week and the week before. I said, you know, it's times like this that we see the true humanity in people. And
yeah.
Over the last few years, there have been so many crazy things going on in our world. And we've seen kind of hatred, our people divided. But during situations like this, we've seen people helping each other in ways that we haven't seen in a very long time. We've seen people supporting each other and supporting humans all together. And I think it's been kind of special to see that, even though we're going through some craziness here in our world.
Oh, that's beautiful. You're so right.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I love your outlook, brother. I really do. So we do this thing every day where we're reliving a game, right? And we do, you know, Sixers, Eagles, Flyers, Phillies, the whole thing. So today we're reliving the 44-6 game. What do you remember about that day, B West?
You know, so that was the game. It's probably the last game of the season, right?
Yes.
The last game of our regular season.
It was December the 28th, 2008.
That's right. Yeah. So when we going into that game, so we didn't have the best regular season. We struggled. We were up and down pretty much all season long. And it really came down for us that we had to win. We had to beat the Cowboys, but we needed some help. So we needed the Raiders to win. And I think we need someone else, another team to win. And I just remember vaguely that Michael Bush, who was actually Ben Simmons' brother-in-law, I believe, he scored a touchdown in the Raiders game.
Yes.
And they ended up winning, which we needed that to happen, which is great.
And the Texans. You need the Texans
and
to
the
beat
the Texans. That's right.
To beat the Bears.
We needed the Texans to win. So now we're kind of in the locker room, and we're saying all to ourselves, okay, the Raiders, they did their job. The Texans, they did their job. And now, as a team, all we had to do is to go out in front of the best fans in the world and beat up on the Cowboys, something that we wanted to do anyway, that we hated that team with so much passion anyway. And really, that game was surreal for me because the only thing I remember from the game really is watching the game. So it was kind of one of those feelings where I wasn't even in the game because our defense was on the field so much. They dominated so much. I felt like they were getting interceptions and sacks and fumble recovery, and they were scoring. And so they would just go right back in the field. And I'll never forget this. I remember Dalton running and jumping over someone. Maybe it might have been Romo at the time, stripping the ball from him.
Yes.
And someone else recovered it. And I just remember running to Dalton and just shaking him and throwing him around. And this is the first time and probably the only time I've done this to Brian Dawkins, the great Brian Dawkins. But I'm so excited. I'm throwing him around. I'm shaking him because he forced the fumble. And I just remember our team basically running away with that game to the point that I don't know that we even played in the third or fourth quarter as the starters because we were just the game got ugly very, very quickly.
Yes, and again, yes.
We talk about the best fans in the world. It's reasons like that game in particular. When we walked out of that locker room and we walked into that stadium, Lincoln Financial, I mean, we felt this in the vet, but Lincoln Financial was a little bit different. It was shaking. I felt that the ground shaking at that time because our fans wanted to win that much. And as a team, we just kind of grabbed on that momentum. We grabbed on that excitement. And our defense, quite honestly, just ran away with the day that game. And again, this is a funny thing because the only time this ever happened to me was when I was in San Francisco, and I truly wasn't playing. So what happened when I was in San Francisco in the pregame, I felt like because I wasn't playing an awful lot, I might have played two or three plays per game for the first 5 or 6 weeks. I felt like I was watching people warm up for a game, like as if I was a coach, right?
Wow.
And then so that game, when we played against the Cowboys, that 44-6 game, I felt like I was a coach watching our defense dominate against that football team of the Cowboys. And it was great to watch.
That is awesome. You know, it was great too in that game that I was this Marty's idea. They split you out. So it's you and D-Jax, or you split you out at wide out. And so you got opposite D-Jax. And, you know, with you two on the outside, they had to go man. And there was a couple big plays down the field, pass interference penalties, because they had you split out at wide receiver.
You know, so back in, this is what I'm saying, back in the day, like I'm 100 years old, but back in the day, when they played defenses, there was a lot of base defenses. So really, it was four down linemen and three linebackers. And as long as you had two running backs in the game, they would go that defense, right? And so what we did in this situation, we put myself and the father was Buckhalter at the time, we put us both in the backfield at the same time, right? And so now they went base defense where they had four linemen and three linebackers. And then after, you know, we get to the line of scrimmage, we disperse. So I went to the outside. And now they have to make a decision as a defense. Do they want to put a cornerback on me and have a safety or somebody else, a linebacker, on DeSean Jackson, which was a huge mismatch? Or do they want to put the corner inside with D-Jack? At this point, they'll put a line, then put the linebacker outside with me. And then we have a mismatch with open field with me on the linebacker or safety. And so there was kind of a game plan type of thing that Marty would do from time to time just to see. First of all, it makes the defense declare exactly what defense they're in. Because if the linebacker goes outside with me and the cornerback's inside with D-Jack, that means they're man-to-man. If they stay with the cornerback outside and the linebacker stays inside, then they're probably in some type of zone, right? And so we declared the defense. We understood what defense they're in. And now we got a matchup between myself and a linebacker. And I took pride in every time I had a matchup against a linebacker, or safety for that matter, that I had to win that matchup because I knew Donovan was going to be looking for me to catch the football. And so there were some opportunities there. I don't really remember having a very good game. In that game, I don't know that we needed me to have a good game because we were so dominant, but I just remember watching it like, wow, I think Buckhalter might have scored in that game.
It got
ugly pretty, pretty quickly. It was a great game for us, for the Eagles fans as well.
That's so awesome. I love talking about that. Like, it's amazing how quickly, because you're right, this isn't back in the day 100 years ago, that, you know, you're only talking a decade, not even, when it comes to your career. And, you know, defenses, nobody's in base anymore. It's when people talk about drafting a linebacker. You know, the Eagles don't need, you're never in base defense anymore. It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're rarely in base, and here's the reason why. Because so many teams have gone three wide receiver sets and four wide receiver sets, and now you have tight ends like Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, who, you know, I think Dallas does a much better job of blocking at the line of scrimmage, but Zach Ertz is basically a receiver. He does a great job of finding his way open, and so as a defense, you're saying, well, we can't match up 4-3 with our base defensive lineup in there versus what they're going to do offensively. So that's why you have so many nickel guys in there, guys like Malcolm Jenkins in there that can play the run as well as the pass. And, you know, things have changed. The league continues to evolve and the league continues to change. And that was one of the changes that they did maybe 10 or so years ago.
Listen, I know you got to run. Thank you, brother. Listen, I love you, man. You are the greatest. Please be safe and God bless you and the family.
Thank you, brother. God bless you and your family too. Andrew, you as well. You guys be safe and to all the Phillies, continue to take care of each other because, you know, in this world, that's all we have is each other. Let's make sure that everyone knows how special that they are to you at this time, especially with all the craziness going on.
Amen, you, brother. Amen, care. Brother. Amen. It is the great Brian Westbrook. You'll hear him with Mikey Miss on Fridays at 4 o'clock. I love that dude. He's terrific. And he was such a great, great player. It's fun kind of reliving his career at times, Junis. I could talk to him forever. So he would give kind enough to give us a few minutes to relive that game. I hope you guys enjoy this stuff. We got to figure out what we're doing for tomorrow. We're back to Sixers, Junis. We're a little Sixer action tomorrow.
Yes, and people who are tweeting in to play 2001 Game 7 against the Raptors, we did that last week. So it's got to be another one.
All right, we need some Sixer games. So think about some of the games from the past. We'll narrow it down, but tweet in some of the Sixer games that you would like to relive, and then we'll do it. We'll put it out for... on the poll, and let you know who wins, and we'll do that tomorrow. But thanks to B-West, and great job on the 44-6.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.